Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling a Supreme Court case that's got it all: bribes, hidden recordings, and a legal question that could make your head spin. Can evidence be thrown out just because an agency didn't follow its own internal rules?
Yeah, this case, United States v. Caceres from way back in 1979, is a real classic, especially for all you law students out there. It's not just about some bribe, though. It really digs into the whole balance of power, you know, agencies, the courts, individual rights. It shows how a tiny little procedural thing can have huge consequences.
So let's break it down from the beginning. Who are the players and what went down?
Okay, so picture this. We've got Alfredo Caceres. He's accused of bribing an IRS agent.
Classic tax evasion stuff. Huh?
Right. So the agent, to build their case, secretly recorded their conversations, and not just once, twice actually, on January 31st and February 6th of 1975.
Gotcha. Seems pretty straightforward so far. They got him on tape, right?
Well, here's where things get a little sticky. At the time, the IRS had these internal rules, right? They said agents needed authorization from the Department of Justice before they could record someone electronically.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Exactly. And those recordings, you know, the ones that might actually prove he was bribing the agent, might be inadmissible in court, all because of this little bureaucratic oopsie.
Wait, so even if they have Caceres dead to rights on these recordings, they might not even be able to use them because of a technicality?
Yep, that's exactly what we're dealing with here.
That seems kind of crazy. Like, how did this even happen with the authorization? Did the IRS agent just go rogue?
Well, not exactly. It seems like while the recordings were happening, they were trying to get, you know, the proper authorization, full 30-day authorization from the DOJ. And they even got emergency approval while they were waiting for the full authorization. But get this, they messed up. Like, really messed up. The request for the full authorization was never actually sent.
You're kidding. So they dropped the ball on a technicality, and now a whole bribery case might get thrown out. This is wild. So this brings us to the exclusionary rule, right?
Bingo. The exclusionary rule, every law student's favorite, right? But seriously, it's a fundamental protection against, you know, unlawful searches and seizures. It basically says if evidence is obtained in violation of the Constitution, like an illegal search or a coerced confession, it can't be used in court.
So in this case, the question is, does this rule also apply when the IRS violates their own internal guidelines, even if technically they didn't break any laws?
Exactly. It's a tough one. On the one hand, you want agencies to be held accountable to their own rules, right? But on the other hand, does a mistake, even a dumb one, mean someone might get away with a crime? The Supreme Court definitely had to grapple with this.
So what happened? Did the court side with the IRS or with Caceres?
Well, it was a close call, a 5-4 decision in the end. Both the district court and the Ninth Circuit, they agreed with Caceres, said the recordings had to be suppressed. But the Supreme Court, they reversed that, allowed the evidence.
Wow, so the IRS dodged a bullet there. So what was the majority's reasoning? Why did they let the recording stand?
Well, Justice Stevens, he wrote the majority opinion. He basically said there was no constitutional violation here. The agent's consent, that was enough to make the recordings legal under the Fourth Amendment. You know, those IRS guidelines, just internal rules, not constitutional mandates.
So Stevens is basically saying, yeah, the IRS messed up, but it wasn't a violation of Caceres' constitutional rights.
Exactly. Stevens also pointed out that Caceres didn't even know about these IRS rules, so how could he have relied on them? You know, he wasn't harmed by the violation. Plus, the IRS did try to fix things. Remember that retroactive approval? They at least made an effort.
No harm, no foul.
Right.
Even if the paperwork was a mess. But I have a feeling there's more to this story.
Oh, absolutely. Justice Stevens was actually thinking about the big picture here. He argued that if agencies are punished for every minor rule violation, even if no one was really harmed, they might stop making any internal rules at all. And that would be bad, like really bad.
Makes sense. You wouldn't want them to be afraid to set any standards for themselves.
Right. It's a classic example of what we call judicial restraint. The court doesn't want to, like, micromanage every single thing agencies do. But, of course, not everyone agreed with Stevens. We had a pretty strong dissenting opinion in this case.
All right, let's hear it. What did the dissent have to say? Why did they think these recordings should be thrown out?
Well, Justice Marshall, he wrote the dissent, and he had a very different perspective. He basically said, look, agencies have to be held accountable to their own rules, point blank. Otherwise, what's the point of having them?
He sounds pretty firm on that.
Oh, he was. Marshall argued that suppressing evidence, even though it didn't specifically hurt Caceres in this case, was crucial. He said it was important for two reasons. First, it maintains the integrity of the judicial system. You know, the courts shouldn't be seen as condoning any kind of misconduct, even if it was unintentional.
So it's about keeping the courts above board, not just about the outcome of this one case.
Exactly. And second, suppressing evidence acts as a deterrent. It prevents agencies from getting sloppy and thinking they can ignore their own rules without any consequences. He was worried about a slippery slope, you know, where agencies start to routinely ignore these safeguards that are in place.
That's a good point. It's about the big picture, the potential for abuse if agencies aren't held to their own standards.
Right. And this disagreement, you know, between the majority and the dissent highlights this tension that's always present in the legal world. Do we prioritize flexibility for agencies, let them manage their own affairs, or do we take a more active role, like policing them to make sure they don't overstep? This case really gets at the heart of that debate.
Sounds like Caceres raises more questions than answers.
In a way, yeah. But that's what makes it such an important case, especially for law students.
Welcome back, Deep Divers. We're picking up our exploration of United States v. Caceres, a case where the IRS kind of stumbled over its own feet during a bribery investigation.
You know, it's really interesting. This case, it was decided back in 1979, but it actually kind of foreshadows a huge decision that came a few years later in 1984, United States v. Leon. I'm sure you've come across that one in your study.
Oh, yeah, Leon. That's the one that created the good faith exception to the exclusionary rule.
You got it. And even though, you know, Caceres didn't specifically spell out the good faith exception, you can really see those ideas starting to take shape here. Both cases really dig into this question of when it's okay to, like, exclude evidence that was obtained improperly. And they both kind of prioritize a more practical approach, right? Instead of just rigidly applying the exclusionary rule every single time.
So even though Caceres came first, it sort of hinted at where the court was heading in terms of this balance between individual rights and, you know, letting law enforcement do their jobs.
Exactly. It's a great example of how, you know, legal doctrine kind of evolves over time. These principles and concepts, they get refined through a whole bunch of different cases.
It's like building a legal puzzle, piece by piece.
That's a great way to put it.
And this is why studying cases like Caceres is so important for law students, right? It's not just about memorizing the facts and who won. It's about understanding how these legal principles develop and how they all connect.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the big takeaways from both Caceres and Leon is that the exclusionary rule, which, don't get me wrong, it's super important for protecting people's rights. It's not meant to be this, like, blunt instrument that just automatically tosses out evidence because of every little procedural hiccup.
Right. It's about finding that balance, deterring bad behavior from police and agencies, but also being realistic that in the real world, things aren't always going to be perfect.
Exactly. It's a tough balance to strike, for sure. And Caceres really illustrates that. You know, the majority was worried about this chilling effect that agencies would be so scared of messing up that they'd just stop making any rules at all. Imagine if the FBI was afraid to create, like, detailed guidelines for investigations because they were worried that any little deviation would mean their whole case gets thrown out.
Yikes. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. You could have dangerous criminals going free because of bureaucratic technicalities. And it could create this system where agencies are less transparent, less accountable.
You hit the nail on the head. It's this reminder that these legal decisions have these ripple effects. They don't just affect the people in the case. They can shape how entire institutions behave.
So let's break this down for our listeners who are, you know, knee deep in their law school textbooks. What are the key practical takeaways they should be scribbling in their notes?
Caceres is a gold mine for aspiring lawyers. First and foremost, it reinforces this idea that the exclusionary rule is really tied to violations of the Constitution or, you know, laws passed by Congress, not just internal agency flubs. Knowing the difference between those two is huge.
Right. So it's about recognizing when something goes from being like a procedural oops to an actual violation of someone's rights.
And to illustrate this point, the court even brought up this kind of silly hypothetical. What if there was, like, a typo in the FBI manual? Should that be enough to throw out evidence? Of course not.
It sounds ridiculous, but I get the point. Not every mistake is a constitutional crisis.
And that leads us to this broader takeaway, which is that Caceres highlights this constant back and forth between law enforcement efficiency and making sure that agencies are actually operating within their limits. And this goes way beyond criminal law. You'll see it in administrative law, environmental law, anywhere agencies are involved.
It's this theme that pops up all over the place in the legal world.
And it forces us to ask some tough questions. How do we make sure that agencies have enough power to actually do their jobs, but also hold them accountable and protect people's rights? There aren't any easy answers, But Caceres gives us a way to start thinking about these complicated issues.
And it reminds us that the law is constantly changing. New cases, new societal values, this ongoing conversation between different parts of the government, it all shapes how the law evolves.
You know, thinking back to Justice Marshall's dissent, it also shows how different judges can look at the same facts, the same legal principles, and come to totally different conclusions.
It's a reminder that being a judge isn't just about knowing the rules by heart. It's about making these judgments, weighing these values, and those decisions have real consequences.
Exactly, and that's why cases like Sarah's are so important to study and to talk about. They make us confront the complexities of the legal system, these fundamental questions of fairness, accountability, balance of power.
So let's turn it over to you, our listeners. Imagine you're the judge in Caceres. Do you go with the majority, focusing on practicality and giving agencies a little leeway? Or do you side with the dissent, holding them strictly accountable to their own rules? What do you think the consequences of each approach would be? It's a tough call.
It really is, and that's what makes legal analysis so fascinating.
All right, Deep Divers, we're back for the final lap of our journey through United States v. Caceres. We've covered a lot of ground, from a bribery investigation gone a little sideways to a Supreme Court showdown over, well, the rules of the game.
It's been quite a ride, hasn't it? Exploring the exclusionary rule, that balance of power between agencies and courts, and this constant push and pull between individual rights and, you know, making sure law enforcement can actually do their job.
So as we wrap things up, let's bring it all together. What's the big takeaway, the core message our listeners should walk away with from Caceres?
I think, you know, if we take a step back and look at the big picture, Caceres really drives home this point. The law, it's rarely black and white. There are all these gray areas, these places where different values bump up against each other. And the courts, they're the ones who have to sort through all that mess and find solutions, try to strike a balance.
It's like they're walking this legal tightrope, juggling all these different factors.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And what Caceres shows us is that understanding the law isn't just about knowing the rules. It's about understanding the why behind the rules. It's about understanding the context, you know, the real world implications of how these rules actually play out.
It's about seeing the forest for the trees. How does this case fit into the bigger picture of the legal system?
Exactly, because in real life, legal issues rarely show up as these neat little hypotheticals, right? It's messy, there are all these twists and turns, and you need to be able to think critically and make judgments based on all those factors.
And Caceres also shows how one case can have all these ripple effects, right? It doesn't just affect the people involved. It can change how whole institutions behave. It can shift that balance of power within our legal system.
Absolutely. And, you know, for all you aspiring lawyers out there, it's important to remember that this evolution, this adaptation, it never really stops. The law is this living, breathing thing, always changing, always being shaped by new cases, societal shifts, the ongoing dialogue between different parts of the government.
So it's not like you just learn the rules and you're done.
Yeah.
It's a constant process of learning and adapting.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with something to think about, a little food for thought as you continue your legal journey. Imagine, just for a second, that Caceres had gone the other way. What if the court had sided with the dissent and said those recordings had to be thrown out? How do you think that would have changed things? Would it have given more power to individuals, or could it have actually made it harder for law enforcement to do their jobs effectively?
That's a really interesting question. It makes you realize that every Supreme Court decision has the potential to really shake things up.
So as you dive deeper into the world of law, don't be afraid to ask those what-if questions. Challenge assumptions, you know, look at things from different angles. Never stop trying to learn more to get a deeper understanding of this incredibly complex and constantly changing field.
And remember, there's always more to discover, more to explore. Every case, every legal concept, it's like a doorway to a whole universe of knowledge and insight. We hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into United States v. Caceres, that it's sparked your curiosity and given you a new way to look at the legal world.
It's been a pleasure joining you all today. Keep those legal minds sharp and always remember the law. It's not just a bunch of rules. It's a reflection of who we are and, you know, who we want to be.
And hey, if you're ever itching for another deep dive into a legal topic, you know where to find us. We're always here to guide you through the fascinating world of law and beyond. Until next time, everyone.